Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to, you may be seated. No, let's stand until we have the word and we pray. If you'd open your Bibles this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. And we'll take our text from 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16 and Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And then from Philippians chapter 2, and reading from verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we know and believe that you are here this morning in our midst. And though we cannot see you, Father, nor can we feel you, yet we have assurance that your great pillar of fire is here, leading us to the millennium. For you told us that was your purpose through the lips of your vindicated prophet. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would be with us as we lay ourselves open to your great presence here among us. And may your presence bring comfort to us, Father, for you are the God of all comfort. And help us to understand that or what you are doing here now, as we have no prophet among us to speak for thee. Help us then, Father, to know and to understand our place in your kingdom and what you are doing yet in this hour, as we look to the words that you have already spoken through your vindicated prophet, knowing that you are the I am and not the I was. Then, Father, we believe that your words that you spoke through William Branham were not words for the past, but they are words for the present. And we know and believe, Father, that those words were not the words of a man, but they were the words, your words, Father, to us. And we have confidence in your great message, which you gave us through that yielded vessel. And we believe those words are still as much alive today and with as much power today as they were in the day when they were spoken. Therefore, Father, we know that you have come in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself. Then hear our petition to thee this morning, Father. And we ask that you would open to us your great fountain of wisdom and help us to know and to be sure and to be comforted by your presence among us. For we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Again this morning, I would like to continue to examine Brother Branham's opening prayer from his sermon entitled The Masterpiece. And to do so, we will need to pick up at paragraph number 3, where we read last week concerning our transformation from righteous to saints. And in here we find Brother Branham in his prayer. He says, give to us the desires of our heart, for we truly have these desires to serve you. And in these weakening conditions and afflictions and things of the world that's been put upon us sometimes to perfect us, we've been told that, he said, think it not strange that these trials would come. They're only working out for our good and to perfect us and to bring us into that place. These great deserts of experience where righteous men are molded into saints. We thank thee for these experiences, Lord. We would nowise want to do anything contrary to your will, but we pray, Father, that in this we'll be brought closer to you. And when the burdens are so heavy, we can't go no farther. Then we raise our hands and scream for our Father. Then hear from heaven, Lord, and heal us, and make us well for the kingdom of God's sake. Now I would like to stop here for a moment this morning in our reading, because these words that Brother Branham is saying here concerning our burden seems so present tense and so real, especially since all that we have gone through here recently, having suffered great loss of friends, great loss of family. It seems sometimes that we come to a place where we just can't see daylight. Everything seems to be so dark and the promises of God seem to be so distant. And there seems to be no real relief in sight. And that is the essence of what Brother Branham is saying here. He said, and when the burdens are so heavy and we can't go any farther, then we raise our hands and we scream for our Father. Then hear from heaven, Lord, heal us and make us well for the kingdom of God's sake. Now, Brother Branham is speaking here of a time when all seems to be lost. and the light seems to have grown dark. A time when everything seems to be going the wrong way for us. And then he tells us, that is when we need to know that we have a Father to whom we can cry out to. A Father who will hear us and bring comfort to those of us in need. You know, the Apostle Paul told us the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He told us that our God is a God who is full of mercy, a God of comfort. In fact, he told us he's the God of all comfort. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 3. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us with all our tribulations, or in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, or in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Now these words are so outstanding to us, especially in these times when we have loved ones among us and close to us that have suddenly, without explanation, or are being aware, have been snatched out of their midst, out of our midst. To some of you who are listening, it may have been family. To others, it may have been close friends. Regardless of the relationship, we must all deal with the reality of the sudden change in our life and have a need of comfort. Having experienced many funerals over the years, and several of them family members, and several of them loved ones who were as close as family, I would like to say that comfort is not something that comes easy to us. Neither do we get comfort from someone else's experiences. Our comfort, I mean true comfort, comes from one source and one source alone. And that source is from God our Father and our confidence that we have in His great judgment. I remember when I first came into the message, and my family thought I had gone berserk, that I'd gone off my rocker, and my father then passed away within a year. And God had given me comfort because my father had accepted the Lord as his personal Savior just a few days before he died, not knowing he was going to die. He died of a blood clot stopping the heart. And at the funeral, there was a lot of confusion, a lot of fussing, a lot of crying. But I had such a positive assurance of my father's salvation that it began to take over the confusion. It began to take over the fussing. And after the ceremonies were all taking place, my mother came up to me and she said, you know, Brian, I thought that you had become a kook. But she said, your confidence in my father's salvation brought such a peace to me and to your sister Catherine and the rest of the family. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, blessed be God, even our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them that are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Now, Brother Bram is speaking here of a time when all seems to be lost, the light seems to have grown dark, a time when everything seems to be going the wrong way for us, and then he tells us it's at that time that we can reach out and touch a loving Father who's full of mercy and the God of all comfort. Now, these words are so outstanding to us, especially in these times. And having experienced, as I said, many funerals and not knowing how to comfort others, all I can say is what the Apostle Paul said. And as Abraham himself said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What a comfort knowing that God will not make a wrong decision. We've all attended funerals and have been close to someone who's suffered loss. Death, dying, and suffering, these are not uncommon to any who are born into this world. And certainly they are not uncommon to any who are sons and daughters of God. Now last week we read where the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. So we see that the trials that we have should not be viewed as though they are some strange thing happening only to us. He said it's not strange. In other words, others suffer the same. On the contrary, he said our attitude should be to rejoice for these trials. He said, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Now, if you recall our study last week, we pointed out that it is not the trial itself that we are to rejoice in, but what that trial works into our character. For God does not place us under trials and suffering to get a kick out of it. We are told that even the Son of God learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible tells us that those trials and sufferings perfected him. We read from Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and sacrifices and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, Notice that although God was able to save the Son of God from death, he didn't. Because it was all his will to bruise and smash that sweet rose of Sharon until the beautiful perfume of the Holy Ghost left him so that you and I could enjoy that sweet smelling savor. And it says, and was heard in that he feared. Yes, Jesus, the Son of God, feared. But his fear was not a fear of doubt, but of a reverential subjection to the will of God. He said, Father, I would that you take this cup from me. And then after a great struggle and then final victory, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And how did he become perfect? By the sufferings in his flesh. Now the word perfect was translated from the Greek word teleo, which means to be made complete or consummate in his character. In other words, his character was finished off, completed by this act of subjecting his will to the Father's will, even to the point of death. That's what Brother Ram said God is coming for. He's not coming for numbers, he's coming for character. Now the Apostle Peter went on to say this in verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or even as an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, in getting back to what the Apostle Paul was telling us about the God of all comforts, he said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our tribulations. And I want you to notice here that God not only comforts you, but he is the God of all comforts and has promised to comfort us in every time of need. And the reason God brings us comfort is that we might bring comfort to others in their time of need. And he goes on to say that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And notice how we are enabled to comfort others by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, it is God that brings us our comfort. Then it is not your words, it is not your experiences that can bring comfort to others, but it is your reflecting the God of all comfort to them that will bring them comfort in times of trial and need. No one that has been hit by sudden loss or severe injury is interested in what someone else has gone through or wants to tell them about their experiences. That is not the time for it. When sudden loss occurs or sudden injury or time of need, of real need, the best thing that we can do for those who are suffering is to be sure ourselves of the love of God and that God indeed is a faithful God. Your bringing comfort to others is not in what you can do or say or what you have experienced. There's a time and place for all of that. But in a time of distress, we bring comfort by having been comforted by God ourselves. Our being comfort brings comfort. If we're all torn to pieces and we're all just shaken and we're all just rattled and we come in the presence of someone who's in need, you're not doing them any favor. Stay home. But if you have a deep down comfort and assurance that shall not the judge of all the earth do right, that in itself will bring comfort to those that have need of comfort. We bring comfort to others by having been comforted by God ourselves. And our faith and confidence in God having brought us comfort will bring comfort to those who are hurting and in need. Even Brother Branham, who experienced much in terms of sorrow and despair, said the only one who could bring comfort to him when his little Sharon Rose lay there dying was to know that God was his comfort. From he careth for you, Brother Branham said, I walked over to the bed and I put my hands on her little head and I said, Darling, God gave you and God's taking you away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And though you slay me, yet I'll trust you. Yes, sir, I said. And I'll take you, darling, and lay you on your mother's arms yonder in the undertaker's morgue in about an hour from now. But yet if he kills me, there's nothing that I can do to that I can go to. He's the only hope that I've ever found. He's the only foundation. He's the only comfort that I ever had. And where could I go now for comfort if it wasn't to him? And when I said that, the angels come and they packed her away. And I just almost collapsed, but something happened. He was my comforter. And he came to me. And he cared for me. Notice the Apostle Paul said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When you yourselves show an open confidence in the God of all comfort, that confidence in God brings comfort to those in need of comfort. Now the Apostle Paul continues in verse 5, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also of the consolation." Finally, in closing, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 15, verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Notice that Paul calls God the God of patience, the God of consolation. Because after you have waited for the promise, God surely will keep that word which he promised. What consolation we have in Christ Jesus, knowing that God raised up his Son from the dead. And if the Spirit that raised up his Son from the dead be in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. The Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, he said, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we know of many hardships and trials that have befallen our brethren in these last few years. But through them all, you have been there. For you told us, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And we hold to those words, dear Lord, knowing that you care for us. Help us then to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Be with those that mourn, comfort the afflicted, and bring glad tidings to those that are in need. We ask that you would be with the McRae family, and the Arias family, and the Roberts family, and their children, Lord. And Father, we ask your comfort upon all that are in need at this time. For we ask it in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ.